The reading today is from Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Please do follow along in your own Bible, at home or in church. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. The Sovereign Lord has sworn by His Holiness. The time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will each go straight out through breaks in the wall, and you will be cast out towards Harmon, declares the Lord. Go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering, and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the Sovereign Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you, as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, yet you have not returned to me, declared the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. He who forms the mountains creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn down to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. What is a reliable news source? As we've been looking at reopening Emmanuel and especially the children's and youth work, I have been a part of different groups and pages to try and find out what is the correct thing to do, to try and find out some good information. Unfortunately, as I look at these two different groups, or some of these different groups, some of the information from one group is the exact opposite of information from another group. In fact, because we have access to so much information today, we've even got a category that describes news as fake news. We like to think fake news is something that we've created, a term that we used because of the amount of information that we have. But unfortunately, fake news has been around for a long time. In the book of Amos, we know that there were many different prophets giving information that they said came from God. And so as you look at the book of Amos, we have to think to ourselves, did this information come from a shepherd from Tekoa, or did it come from the Lord God Almighty? And Amos sets our heart at ease all the way through the chapters, starting in chapter 1, verse 3, where he says, "This is what the Lord says." And if you look in your Bibles where the word Lord is, you will see that is all capital letters. All capital letters Lord actually means the word is Yahweh or Jehovah in the original Hebrew, the name of God. And so as he repeats this over and over again, we know that this message is directly from the God that we serve. And this God describes himself in chapter 13, in verse 13 of our chapter today. And I'd like to read that to you. He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn into darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. And if the Lord God Almighty is the one who gave this passage to us, teaching us about worship, then I think if we want to worship him, we really need to pay attention. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we recognize that you are the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the one who brought all things into creation, the one who created us. And so, Father, as you open up your text now, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding to see how to worship you and how to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we'll be looking at worship and the consequences of false worship. We will focus on the false worship of self, the false worship of God, and God's response to false worship. We're going to start with verses 1 to 3 from the passage we read. And I'd like to point out that Amos uses an illustration as a literary method here. So turn with me in your Bibles to Amos chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Hear this, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. The sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come when you'll be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fishhooks. You will go straight through the breaks in the wall. You will be cast out towards Harmon, declares the Lord. He begins by addressing the rich women of Israel as cows of Bashan, a place famed for having good, well-fed cattle. He was basically saying to these women, you have become fat cows, implying that they were rich and spoiled, and repeating his accusation of social injustice from the previous chapters. These women have oppressed the poor and crushed the needy. This is the same type of person from last week's message who was both summer and winter homes decorated with ivory. These are the people who cause violence and oppression from their palace fortresses. These women have become who they are by being unkind. They reached the top of the ladder by stepping on the heads of those who had nothing. And all they want to do is eat and drink all day long. And so they command their husbands to serve them. This brings out an anger and a righteous indignation from God, who promises with an oath on his holiness that their time is coming, when they'll be cast out of the kingdom. It is not often that we see God enforcing his word with a promise, with an oath. But the way these women have mistreated others brings an intensity to God's judgment. And he swears that their walls will be broken and they will be driven out through those cracks towards Harmon. Now, we actually don't know where Harmon is nowadays, but most commentators believe that they would have been taken outside of Israel. This text shows us that the way we treat other people shows our worship of God. And why do I say that? These women place their own selves, their ego, above God. And so their worship was directed inwards. They are worshippers of themselves. This is very common today. Have you ever heard these words? You are your own God. Do whatever makes you happy. Whatever brings you pleasure. You are the most important person in the world. Look after yourself before all others. No, brothers and sisters, this is not God's plan for worship. The two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. When you oppress the poor and crush the needy, you choose to go against God's prime directive, prime commandments to love others. At Emmanuel, our verse for this year is John 15:12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Racism, intolerance, abuse of power are all methods of self-worship, placing our own values and importance above God. They are all forms of idolatry, which God hates. We have heard it over and over again as we've been going through this book of Amos, that God judged Israel on their love for others. And here we see there is an earthly advantage that these women have gained, and they seem to be getting wealthy. They seem to be able to eat and drink whatever their heart desires. But anyone who practices these things will be taken away with hooks. Don't be worshippers of yourself. The text will continue in verses 4 to 5, showing us how not to worship God falsely. And Amos here uses another literary technique, sarcasm. Reading from verse 4, go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the Sovereign Lord. Why are Bethel and Gilgal mentioned here? Remember, Amos is preaching to the northern kingdom, where Jeroboam separated the kingdom. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, he created a new center of worship in Bethel. And where he went there, he created an altar to the calves that brought them out of Egypt. Gilgal was a place where all the males were circumcised upon entering the promised land. It was the same place where the stones of remembrance were removed from the river and placed as a place of memory for all the Israelites. Both of these places are deeply religious places to Israel. But God was not in these places. God was not there for their false worship. The Israelites might have lost their relationship with God, but they were still obsessed with religion and trying to do things religiously. But again, this is not what God requires of man. Here we see how people boast and brag about how good they are. They boast and brag about how they are blessing God, how they are bringing their sacrifices and their tithes. Amos specifically points out that they use leavened bread. And according to Leviticus, this should only be used in chapter 23 as a wave offering. So what they were doing was illegal offerings, a form of religion that they had devised themselves. It was a false religion that was used to show how good they were so they could brag and boast. For that is what they loved to do. And as you read this, you realize this false religion, again, is a religion of self. It is doing religious things to be seen by others, and not to please God. I wish I could say that this type of religion was only prevalent in Amos's day. But sadly, I think it is still strong in the Christian church today. I think people believe that the gospel is about what God and church and religion can do for themselves, not what they can do for God. There are people who come to church to raise themselves up to places of honor. But at the first sign of tribulation and hardship, they run away. There are people who want to come to church when church is just a Sunday thing. But when the gospel expects a seven-day relationship with God, that becomes too much. There are people who will say, I give my 10% to the church. What more does God want from me? To those people. And I think, if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us has at some time been those people. God will give us the warnings in the next few verses how we should respond when God warns us about our worship. The text now leads away from false worship into God's response. And again, Amos uses another literary method. The method he uses now is called a chant. And while it's more obvious in the Hebrew, try and pick it up in the English from verses 6 to 11. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was 3 months away. I sent rain in one town and withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and your vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and your olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declared the Lord. I sent plagues among you, as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with a sword, along with their captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. We can see here that God uses discipline in an attempt to call his people back to himself. He started off with famine. This led to drought and plight and insects. And then it got more intense with plague and military action, and finally destruction of whole towns. Yet, they did not return to him. This is a picture of God's grace. Step by step, calamity upon calamity, calling his people to return to him. It's a reminder that our God is sovereign. He is the one who causes disasters. Often we only want to thank God for his goodness and we want to blame nature or the devil for disasters. But our God is sovereign. He will do as he pleases. Just as in this passage, God is speaking to his nation Israel, he is also speaking now to his kingdom, which is the church. And as he addresses the church as a whole, this affects us individually as members of his church. This is one of the reasons why I love the promise found in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 3. No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And with the temptation, will make a way of escape. God will allow and even cause trials and tribulations to remind us to return to him. And so just as God was calling Israel back over and over again, but they did not return to him, he is calling the church to stop sinning, to stop false worship, to stop oppressing the poor and crushing the needy. He is calling us to worship, to true worship. And so this passage ends with God's response, verse 12 and 13. Again, there's a literary method. Verse 13 is a doxology. Let's read this together. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. Israel was to prepare to meet their God. And because of their false witness, their false worship, they were going to meet him as a judge. They were going to meet the Lord God Almighty. And God did judge the nation of Israel. And therefore Jesus came to bring about a new kingdom based on a new covenant. There will come a time when the church, the kingdom of God, too, must prepare to meet their God and be judged on their worship of God. There will be someone that day who will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. To meet him as Lord God Almighty and to survive depends on who is on our side. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given at its proper time. True worship only comes from realizing that we are sinners. We are unable to stand before God. But Jesus came and became our ransom. He died on the cross and paid the price for us. God's judgment demands for our sins. And then he rose on the third day to become our mediator, allowing us to be prepared to meet our God. Today, are you prepared to meet God as judge? If you are not, can I encourage you to seek him while he may be found? Spend some time reading the Gospels or speak to another Christian who is ready and become convinced that with Jesus as your Savior, you can be ready to meet your God. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that so often we fail. So often we are like these fat cows of Bashan. We have come to a place where we please ourselves instead of pleasing you. Help us to repent of our sin, to confess it before you, and to choose to love you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to love you with all of our hearts and our souls, our minds and our strength. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to be people of honor, people of your kingdom, who love those around us, who treat all people fairly, and most of all, people who know that you're our God. Jesus came to save us and made us part of your people. We have been adopted into your family, and so we can stand before you with Jesus on our side and say, Lord, thank you for Christ taking the punishment, taking the judgment, making us holy before you. In Jesus' name, amen.